This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And there's the final whistle. Sporting Kansas City have won the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We've got Missouri covered.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati with you on this Tuesday, if you're listening live. Of course, if you're listening on podcast through our various Spotify, iTunes, or Sports Radio 810 WHB app podcast, we welcome you there as well, whatever day you might be listening this week. The one and only Carter Augustine is not with us in studio, but that does not mean he will not be featured prominently on the show today. Carter is in Scottsdale, Arizona, with leg number two of Sporting KC's preseason training, and he has sat down with defender Andreu Fontas for a nice long interview that we're going to play for you coming up in the next segment of the show today. Carter will also join us for a little Q&A session in a little bit as well, so he can give us the latest on what's happening with Sporting Kansas City in training camp. Joining me live here in studio is the man who covers Sporting Kansas City for the Kansas City Star, our good buddy Sam McDowell. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Certainly would rather be in Arizona, I think, with Carter.
Yeah, the weather is probably a little bit better there than it has been here, which kind of begs the question, what's the weather going to be like when Sporting KC open up the season just over a week away, by the way? I feel like I've been antsy to get the season started ever since the sour taste that we ended the season with last year. But all of a sudden, it like dawned on me earlier this week, man, we're less than 2 weeks away. I mean, this thing is really going to be here in just a minute. Has it crept up on you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it seemed like every year we talk about how short the offseason was, and it should be used to this, but this year especially, I mean, they're out there in the first week of January. They're already meeting at the training facility, getting ready to go out to Arizona. So as much as we talk about the briefness of the offseason this year, I mean, just more than any year in the past, seems like we were just talking about them with the exit interviews last year.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the season was really shortened on both ends because they made it so far into the playoffs, playing to the second to last weekend of the season, and then the season starts earlier than everybody else that's not playing in CONCACAF Champions League because of CCL. So, yeah, it really is a shorter offseason than what we're used to.
Yeah, so much so that even Peter Vermees petitioned the league to allow them to practice a couple of weeks earlier because they have CCL. Of course, we've seen the lack of MLS team success in there, and he attributes it because they practice so late in the season. So, like I said, they're out there. I mean, I think it was the second week of January that they're actually in Arizona practicing already.
And the players told me that it's been a very accelerated camp, too. I mean, they are trying to get up to everything being implemented and the team ready to go by this season opener on February 21st when they take on Toluca. So we'll talk about that with Sam. We'll talk about our preseason expectations, maybe some of the big questions we have for the team as well as we go on. But Sam, I want to start with you. And by the way, this is our second SKC show of the season. We had our season opener last weekend. If you missed that show, you'll want to go back and listen to the podcast anyway, because we had sit-down interviews Carter and I did with Kellen Rowe, Daniel Shalloway, and Peter Vermees, and they were all three terrific. You'll just want to hear what they had to say. All great, engaging guys with some real insight into their outlook on the team and just personal stuff as well. So you'll want to go back and listen to that after you hear this show, of course. But I've had a lot of people ask me, okay, when does the show start for real? We're underway, baby. This is the second week in a row of the show, and we're going to go all the way through, hopefully, a long run toward MLS Cup next winter as well. So we're with you every week the rest of the year here on the SKC show. All right, so, Sam, let's talk about the brief offseason. It was brief, and there was activity. It wasn't quite as significant as last season because the core of the team seemed like it was already in place, but there still were some big moves made. How would you characterize this offseason for Sporting Kansas City?
Yeah, you're right. Different than last year in the sense that last year we were talking about all the guys coming in And this year, I think probably the two biggest moves that they made were guys that you're not going to be seeing here anymore. Of course, trading Ikopar to Minnesota, to me, is the biggest move of the offseason. A little bit unexpected. Even after the trade request, I still thought he would be here. And, of course, he's not anymore. Traded in the second week of preseason. And then Diego Rubio, too. I mean, getting rid of Diego Rubio, you bring in Kellen Rowe. It's a guy that they've targeted for a long time. I think when you look at the additions they've made, Kellen's probably the guy they're most excited about. But otherwise, it's sort of that two-year plan that we've heard Peter talk a lot about as far as just trying to get too deep at every position. And they knew what they wanted because you saw it was early in the offseason that they made a lot of those additions.
Hey, the Ikopar trade came a little bit later in the equation, but those other ones, and I guess we could also talk about the fact that Kyrie Shelton left as well after the season was over. So between he and Diego Rubio, the two guys that pretty much played all of the number nine for Sporting Kansas City last year are gone, and it sounds like they are really focusing their hopes on Christian Namath in that position. They also did bring Eric Hurtado in as well, but Namath looks like he's the guy.
Yeah, and it's a big risk, I think, because Namath has scored, I think, twice in the last 18 months now. So you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. That a guy that really hasn't been dependable in MLS play since he returned back from Qatar. Now, Peter Vermees says he's fully confident that he's the guy. He's already seen in preseason. He's a different guy. Of course, he had surgery last year, a little bit of a sports hernia issue. So they think that maybe that slowed him down a little bit. Mentally, he wasn't the same player he was the first time in Kansas City because he lost his confidence in New England. So a lot of the part about bringing him back to what you had the first time is getting his confidence back.
We're visiting with Sam McDowell. So let's dive into the Kellen Rowe situation a little bit as well, because look, when you look at we talked to him last week on the show, and he said as soon as he talked to Peter Vermees when the trade was happening, Peter Vermees called him and said, we've been wanting to bring you in for a while, as you just said, Sam, and he said, you're going to be a midfielder for us. I was looking back at his game logs last season, and Brad Friedel had him playing almost exclusively at left back down the stretch last year, which had me questioning. I don't remember him being left-footed. He's not.
No.
So he's going to be back in position, but there is a pretty established midfield trio here between Roger Espinoza, Felipe Gutierrez, and Elie. Roger Espinoza is, though, just turned 32 years old, and he's still had a tremendous year last year. How much of this move is not just for this year, but for the future of that position, considering the fact that Roger Espinoza is getting on the wrong side of 30 now?
Yeah, I think those four guys have to be kind of curious of how this is going to play out, because like you mentioned, you've got four guys for three spots, and I really would take Elie out of that equation and
right.
Say you've got three guys for two spots. And Felipe, when he was on last year, was probably the best player on the field. Of course, he's the team's highest paid player. Have a difficult time watching or finding him being on the bench, except for, of course, last year he had the injury in the midseason. And then, of course, you really could have used Kellen. But I talked with Roger a little bit about it at the season launch party, and he joked that he's not going to be playing as much this year, that maybe it's time to think about retirement. And of course, that, like I said, it was a joke. But he knows that he's going to have to battle for playing time like he never has before. I think if the season started tomorrow, and of course it does start in 10 days, that Kellen Rowe's probably going to be in that starting lineup, and I don't know that Roger Espinoza is.
Does that change the way that Felipe Gutierrez is used? Because Kellen Rowe and Roger Espinoza are not the same type of player. Again, when we talked to him last week, he said, I'm a guy that likes to get into the penalty area. I like to try to score goals and create goals. And Roger Espinoza has always been that box-to-box destroyer. Felipe Gutierrez seemed like he was the guy that was maybe a little more advanced centrally a year ago. If he and Kellen Rowe were on the field at the same time, how do you see that interplay taking place?
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think you're going to have a couple different positions where you're going to have to see the same player who played last year adjusting to a new guy beside him, of course with Matt Beasler and Andrea
yes.
Fontas in the back. But I think in both situations, you're going to be asking the guy who was there to change the way he plays rather than asking the new guy to sort of replicate the guy he's replacing. You know, with on the back line, Matt Beasler, I think, is going to be the one that has to make an adjustment to play next to Andre. And I think it's the same thing in the midfield. Felipe's going to, I think, be playing a little bit differently. Now, his background, he's played the six before.
Yes.
So he's used to playing a little bit more deeper line position, but to me, I look at the way Sporting Kansas City played last year and say, this guy was a key piece of your offense when he was healthy. You want him pushing forward as much as possible.
It's going to be interesting. Theoretically, it could create more scoring punch for this team. Roger Espinoza, we should point out, had his best offensive production season in his MLS career in terms of goals and assists last year. So he was getting involved in the attack, but it just seems like that's something that Kellen Rowe fancies a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, from all reports we've heard, I mean, Kellen Rowe is a dynamic player offensively, and he's a guy that likes to get his teammates involved, and I think that's what they really like about him here is because you look at the Sporting Kansas City attack, it's built similarly as last year, even if the pieces are a little bit different in the sense that they're not going to be relying on one guy to go out and score 20 goals. This isn't a situation in Atlanta where you've got Josef Martinez that's going to score 25 goals. They want to get him by committee, and Kellen Rowe is a good piece in that situation.
Okay, one of the other big storylines that has developed, you've reported on this extensively for the Kansas City Star, is the idea of a guy who was at one time a hot young name on the U.S. men's national team radar, and I hope I say his name correctly because I've watched him play a little bit, but and I'm an Arsenal fan, so we had an eye on him as he's been in the Arsenal system. But Gedeon Zelalem, did I get that close to right?
Yeah, are you following the farm system over there in Arsenal?
Well, look, whenever an American actually gets signed over there, it's a pretty rare thing. And so when he was a teenager, he got signed, people got really excited. But he hasn't broken through with the first team there. He's had some injuries that have kind of derailed his career for now, but he's still only 22 years old. And you've reported the Sporting Kansas City are interested in him. Can you give us the latest on that? How interested are they? How serious do you think we should take this idea?
Yeah, I think that, you know, probably a better than 50-50 chance he winds up in Kansas City. That they've got some interest there, that they do own his discovery rights. It's a player that, just to be clear, is not a guy that would come over here and start. I mean, it's a reclamation project. They think he's still got the talent. I've heard some Freddie Adu comparisons, and I just think that's way off because when you look at the
now, who have you heard those from? From the team or just from fans out there?
I've heard that first from not from the team. Yeah, okay. from some experts even that follow soccer closely because he's a so-called quote unquote bust. But the difference is Adu was thrusted into a situation that he probably wasn't mentally prepared for. With Zelalem, that the issue's been injuries. He didn't play at all in 2018 because of a knee injury. He just started practicing. I think it was last October. The reports are that he's healthy now and potentially ready to play more. And, of course, here in Kansas City, you do have the Swope Park Rangers. You don't have to send a guy on loan and to another club that's in a different city. You've got some options there that you can be patient with him.
What type of a player do they envision him being as a reclamation project? Even where does he play? What do they think of him?
He's a midfielder, but more of a six or an eight. So I guess a little bit. I still wonder what the backup is for Ilya Sanchez if he goes down. They've got Juan Cousin that they liked a little bit last year, but I think they're still trying to maybe solidify that position.
Okay, so we'll keep our eye out on that. When you say better than 50-50, are we talking about a possibility still in this window? The MLS window is still open into the month of March, or are we talking about something that would probably have to take place over the summer?
I think both are possible. It depends on that contract. The expiration date, from what I've been told, it has been this summer. So if it's a situation where you got to pay for a guy or you can wait to the summer to get him for free, of course that's a move that you and I both know this team well enough that they would prefer to wait.
Well, and as you said, he's not going to come in and play right away anyway. He would not be addressing a position of need for Sporting Kansas City, so maybe they can afford to be a little more patient there as well.
Yeah, and of course you've got some guys now that this is a little bit of maybe the growth of this franchise. If you've got some guys that you can sort of see their future, but they don't have to push them right into the lineup now when you talk about the academy kids and kids like that.
Yeah, we'll maybe talk about that a little bit more with Sam as well. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to play for you an interview that our own Carter Augustine conducted with Andreu Fontas. As we just heard from Sam, that's going to be the new partnership, a left-footed partnership on the back line of Sporting Kansas City between Fontas and Beisler. So we'll get the thoughts from Andreu Fontas when we come back. We're off and running on the Sporting Kansas City show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Sam McDowell in studio with us from the Kansas City Star. As I mentioned, Carter Augustine is on the ground in Scottsdale, Arizona, where on Wednesday, Sporting will have another split squad day, and we'll get to monitor some of that. Carter will be on the play-by-play for the web stream of the Sporting KC Houston Dynamo match tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But for now, let's hear his sit-down conversation with Sporting Kansas City 29-year-old defender from Barcelona, Andreu Fontas.
All right, Andreu Fontas. First, just kind of want to talk maybe about your personal life back in Kansas City. Now you're settled in here, full half season. How are you liking the city, and how have you found Kansas City?
Yeah, I like it a lot. We're so happy here. We have a house we have already. I think it was great to came in the middle of the season last year. It was a little bit hard to adapt for me. I know you when you have a change like this, you need some time to get into a new place, into a new team, into a new country, everything. And I think those months were great for me and my family to get ready for this season and start at 100%, everything ready, and so happy to be here.
So what are some of the tougher parts of adapting to a new country, language or just kind of new food? What are the tough parts?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I think Kansas City makes me so easy, and also the Sporting KC, all the teammates, all the staff, all the people that works for the club, it makes us so easy. Yes, of course there are very big changes, as you said, the language, the food, a lot of things, but as I said, I think the club do a great job with the people that is coming from other parts of the world to feel them great and let's and be ready to play and to be happy in Kansas City.
How do you like the food in America?
It's different. I like all types of food, so I have no problem. But it's so different from where I came, where the fish is so fresh and so easy to find, and here it's much harder. But well, we have a very good meat also, so you have to adapt to the things that you have, and we are happy.
Yeah, I guess the seafood not quite as fresh as over there. Your English though pretty good when you came over, improving as well. Was that something you learned in school, or you know, how was your English so good when you came over?
Yeah, well, I think I have to improve a little bit more, but yes, I learned in school, and then I've been two summers when I was younger to Ireland to spend with the family and some friends there, and I think there I have to speak English yes or yes, because I live with a family. With a family that only speaks English, so I have to learn a lot. And I think those two summers it's the big base of the English that I have now.
Okay, I didn't pick up an Irish accent, but maybe we'll find one. Have you talked to Johnny about the UK at all?
Oh, Johnny, it's so hard to understand. Johnny's making me learn a lot because he speaks so deep. It's hard to understand him, but every day I'm getting better.
Okay, so now let's move on to the soccer. Perhaps, what do you think about Peter Vermees' system? And after you've been here for half a year now, how does Sporting Kansas City compare to maybe what you expected from Major League Soccer?
Well, as I said, the months that I came here last year, I think it was great for me to adapt to a system that Peter has been working. I think a lot of years ago, they have an idea so clear that what they want of the football they want to play. I think it's one of the keys of the team gets good results, because they know, everybody knows how to play. I think it's also easy when you arrive from other place to adapt and to know, because they are so clear about what they want. So I think it's one of the best things in the Sporting KC, and also about the league. I think in Europe or in Spain, where I was, people think that there's less level that that the MLS have. No, I think there are great players. I think every time people are starting to know, because they are signings from here to Europe, from Europe to here. Every time it's getting bigger. I think it's a league that is improving a lot. For me, it was a big surprise find the level. I know that half level, of course, because before I came here, I speak with some friends that also played here, and I speak with Ilya, and I can see that the level is it's so high, the competitive is very, very hard, and you have to be ready for every game, because the competitive, as I said, the league is so tight, every team can beat you, so I think it's a great place to be and to grow.
Do you think the popularity in MLS is growing over in Europe a little bit?
Yes, for sure, 100%. I think that the big players that are coming to play here, the stadiums are full every day. I think this kind of things, that's the things that are make that in other places starting to know more about MLS. As I said, the signings, the important signings that the players from here to Europe or to big leagues. I think this is one of the most important aspects, because the people start saying, wow, these players were playing there, and now are good signings here in Europe, so maybe you have to look more there, or there's more level than what we thought, no?
Yeah, and you mentioned it seems like in this league any team can beat you on any day. Is that maybe a little different from your experience over in Europe?
Yeah, I think it's the the big difference for me in even more in Spain, maybe in England there are more teams that can win the league, maybe, but for example in Spain, despite of Barça, Madrid and Atletico Madrid, I think it's impossible to think that other team can do it. Maybe one day will happen, but I think it's so difficult. And here, as I said to you, it's so hard. It depends a lot of how you arrive in the playoff. You can do a great season and then the playoff not be good, or opposite side. No, you can do a very good regular season and the final spots you lose and you get in a wrong way to the playoffs and you're out. No, so I think the league it's so. So nice, so funny, so good to see for the people, and that's one of the reasons that the popular is getting bigger.
So going back to the system, Peter and Kerry went over and studied with Tito at Barcelona for a while. Do you see many similarities between here and Barcelona?
Yes, a lot. They try to play very similar football that. Well, the football I've been playing all my life, more or less, because I played in Barcelona, where I played in my city also, where we play a football like this to try to keep the ball, to be the team that goes with the game and tries to be the ones that have the ball all the time, try to create a lot of chances with a good movement of the ball. And yes, as I said, I think that they learn with this system, and they believe in the system, and I think it's great, because when you believe in something and you make your players believe in something is when you get the results.
So this preseason, how do you think the team is coming together as you guys are moving on now to your final preseason game coming up on Wednesday?
Yeah, we're getting ready. We know that we have a big things to come. We are focused in our first Champions League game, and we want to go as soon as possible to get there. We have one more game, I think, that we need also this game to play 90 minutes, like a real game with a very good team also. So we have to keep going, try to prepare good this last 2 or 10 days that we have before the match, and arrive at the best conditions possible.
You've been playing a lot with Matt Beisler in the center. How's that partnership developing?
Yeah, very good. It's easy to work with Matt. He's helping me a lot. He's speaking with me a lot. He's trying to make me feel comfortable all the times. So I think it's great for me to play with him. It's a great player, and as I said, no, I think he knows how to make that feel good his partner to be as easy as possible the adaptation. I'm very happy to play with him, also with the rest of the guys. I think we have a very good group. We are a very competitive squad, and everybody will fight for a place.
And I'm sure you're going to get this question a million times, but two lefties, two left-footed players in the center, kind of rare, no?
Yeah, it's strange, but we speak a lot also about this. You have seen a lot of times two right players, but I think that because left players are less, maybe left center backs are not that as much as right center backs. So I think it's one of the reasons that you never seen. But as we've been playing all these days, there's no problem. I think we can find some advantages also. So it's not. For me, it's not a strange situation because, as I said, I think you have to do more or less the same, changing a little bit the profiles and nothing else.
Is it a little different for you playing on the right? I assume you probably played on the left for most of your career.
No, it's what I said. I think it's more or less the same. You just have to change small things, small details. As I said, playing with Beats and Zeus in my side is easier. They try to speak a lot with me, and I think it's just a thing of habits, nothing else. The position is exactly the same, and as I said, two right center backs can play so easily, and two left will prove that for sure we can do it also.
All right, so coming up February 21st, what's the excitement level for that first game against Toluca? And can you believe it's here coming so quickly in February?
Yeah. We are expecting that game. We are everybody thinking in this game. We know that it's very important for us to get a good result at home. We're working and preparing all this preseason for that game. And we hope to get the best conditions possible. We know that they have been playing and in the competition that it will be maybe more difficult for us, but it's not an excuse. We have to fight and we have to try to get a very good result at home with our fans and go to Toluca and fight. We know that we will be very difficult, but we are sure that we can do it.
Thanks, Andre.
Thank you very much.
All right, great stuff there from Carter Augustine and Andreu Fontas. We'll have Carter on the show with us next, along with Sam, to talk about that interview and maybe talk about that back line for Sporting KC. We haven't really focused on that yet, but there could be some major changes to the defense of Sporting Kansas City in 2019, and we'll break it all down for you next, right here on the Sporting KC Show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati and Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star here in the plush Union Broadcasting Studios. But even plusher is the location for Carter Augustine as we look at the ice and snow melting finally outside here in Kansas City. Carter, there's probably no snow and ice in Scottsdale, Arizona right now, is there?
No snow or ice. It's been pretty nice this week, although I have to say at the last preseason game against Phoenix Rising, it was a little chilly. I had to get a jacket. So, when the sun goes down, it's right around 50 degrees here. So,
wow.
Are we done with Carter? Are we done with Carter's segment?
Carter, your phone's breaking up on us. How is everything going in the second leg of camp? Maybe give us a little scene setter on how the boys have looked and what you've noticed from camp so far.
Yeah, I think it's going pretty well. In talking to Peter Vermees, I think if you followed along with our coverage here, you've seen that he said a lot of the moves for last season were actually done with this season in mind. The likes of Felipe Gutierrez, Johnny Russell, et cetera. And so I do think that despite the earlier start this year, I think that the team is maybe a little bit ahead of where they were last year at this stage of preseason. And in hearing from the coaching staff and a lot of the guys as well, the fitness levels just coming in were very good. And part of that is they just didn't have very much time to get out of shape, I think. These guys are professionals too, so they were obviously doing their own thing in those short weeks between the end of the season and coming down here for the first leg. But I think that might be one good
good element of the short break is that they are already in pretty good shape, and thus they're able to focus on integrating the new guys and working on some of the new stuff they want for this season. I guess the one question becomes, let's see how that goes in the long summer months once the season starts to get long and once they have played a few games. We'll have to see if that short break is a hindrance, but at the moment I think it's helped.
Carter, obviously you mentioned the schedule. I mean, we've got a condensed schedule this year. They're trying to fit it into about a month tighter window, and naturally that means a lot more guys are going to be playing. And talking to Peter Vermees at the season launch party, you know, he said that that means some of these academy kids are going to be playing as well. When you look at Gianluca Buzio and Jalen Lindsey and Juan Cousin, and I think maybe it's another year for Tyler Freeman. But I'm kind of curious how those guys have been integrating into it, because for some of those guys, it's year two of preseason as opposed to trying to get to know the team. Buzio and Cousin and Lindsey all played some last year, and I'm wondering if you've noticed them feeling maybe a little bit more comfortable in the system this preseason.
I think they are. I think that's spot on. They now have been with the team for a year, so they're pretty well integrated in terms of, you know, just the camaraderie and the off-the-field stuff. I think you can check out what some of our videographer, Jake Smith, is doing down here. He's done some good work. He's working long hours editing a lot of these pieces, and you get to see Buzio and Lindsey riding with the Beaslers, Sinovic and Russell playing some catchphrase in the car. I just think that shows that, you know, they're very much part of the team, and on the field I think it shows as well. I think maybe they're even a little ahead of schedule last year. Specifically, I don't know about you guys, but Jalen Lindsey, I don't know if that was expected for him to step in the summer like he did and play so well. So I think, yeah, those guys are well along in their progression, and I think we'll see a lot of them this year as well with that condensed schedule. So really exciting to see that. Tyler Freeman, you're right, he's a little different because it's his first real preseason with the first team. But he's been scoring some goals in these preseason friendlies, and in training he looks really sharp as well. So hopefully we'll get to see him with the Swope Park Rangers. I'm not sure what their plan is for him, but the kid looks really good. So the youngsters are going to play a part, and they certainly have been doing that here in Arizona.
I loved the video of those guys playing catchphrase on the drive. That was really really good stuff. I saw that this morning. Really fun. If you haven't seen it, just go to the Sporting KC Twitter handle or go to the website. You mentioned Swope Park Rangers, and I saw some quotes, guys, from Peter talking this week about his plans. And you know Peter, he's got a plan in mind for every single guy, how many games he hopes they play, and where. And I thought it was an interesting point that he made. Even though we got to see Buzio, Cousin, Lindsey play some for Sporting Kansas City last year, a lot of that was forced because of injury, but the byproduct of that was, because of injury, Sporting KC had to put those guys in the 18 but not play them in games a lot of times, which actually cost them Swope Park Ranger games. I got the sense from looking at that interview from Peter Vermees that, yeah, he's going to want these guys to play a little bit for Sporting this year, but I think what he really wants is for them to get a lot of experience playing with the Rangers. Sam, what do you think coming up this season?
Yeah, you're spot on, because as much as we talked about, even in the opening segment here, who's going to be in the starting 11, picking the 18 is going to be just as difficult for him. You're going to have guys that we've seen start 20 games for this club even last year that are going to have a difficult time making the 18. So he's going to be using the Swope Park Rangers as much as ever, and especially for those young guys. The object this year is to not have them sit around. You know, I mean, yeah, of course they play in training, but you can't replicate MLS minutes unless you're actually playing in games. And that's what the Swope Park Rangers are there for. And it's going to be utilized like never before.
Carter, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys are right. I mean, specifically for Jalen Lindsey and Buzio, I think those are the guys that were a lot of times involved in the 18, but not involved as much with Swope Park Rangers. I think Cousin got quite a few games last year, and I expect him to do the same this year with the Rangers. And then you add in some of the guys that they brought in, like a Kellen Rowe, who's looking to compete for one of those midfield spots, and I think that just kind of might mean Buzio might not see as many as many opportunities in the 18 as well. So, yeah, I think you guys are spot on there.
And I'll just go ahead and give a plug. You know, Carter Augustine is the play-by-play man for Swope Park Rangers, and there's a few schedule conflicts he's got this year. I'm going to get to call 4 or 5 SPR games as well, and I'm really excited about it because I think seeing those young guys, Sam, like, you know, Tyler Freeman and just go on down the list, seeing these academy guys keep getting more and more playing time, you get a real glimpse of the future there.
Yeah, and something else I probably should add on the point, with especially with Buzio, because there were some reports this offseason that maybe there was some overseas interest in Gianluca Buzio, and was he going to be here? And there's always going to be interest in young players that play in first team in MLS, guys that are in the United States youth national team system. But as of now, the plan is to have those guys here. There's no serious offers to take them out because there's no rush from European teams. Why wouldn't they wait to see how these guys actually perform in games before they make that sort of offer? So I know there's a little bit of worry out there about where those guys end up, but the plan is to develop them here. And like we've been talking about, there's other avenues to develop them, even if you're not seeing Gianluca Buzio start 20 games for Sporting Kansas City this year.
I will say this, though, guys. They both, Lindsay and Buzio, are scheduled to be playing at World Cups this summer.
Yeah.
And those, yep, a lot of times are big time, you know, stocked pawns for scouts to go look at.
It happened with Eric Palmer Brown. We saw, yeah, that with him. His interest, yep, skyrocketed after he played in the U-20s.
And unfortunately for Sporting, they only had him under contract through the rest of that year. So teams decided to wait it out. And don't forget this about Gianluca Buzio. He has a European passport. That is a complete game changer when it comes to guys going to Europe at an early age before they turn 18 if they want to. I'm not suggesting that it will. But I will say this to any Sporting Kansas City fan that might be upset about those types of things. Look, this is going to be part of the deal. MLS has shown this offseason that turning around fantastic players for money is going to be part of the model as this league continues to grow. And that's going to be a reality. If that means the plan's working. If Sporting Kansas City are selling some of their academy players for massive money to teams in Europe, that means part of the academy program is working, actually. It's not a bad thing.
It's absolutely a good thing. You're spot on there. I mean, look at what Vancouver did with Alfonso, yes, Davies and the millions and millions of dollars that they got for him. And there's so many different ways you can reinvest that.
You could fund your whole academy with that.
You could have everybody on your roster practically be in that TAM range. That's something you and I talked about off air, is that this team here in Kansas City builds their roster to where they have no weaknesses in that starting 11, and that's the way you do that, is you sell on players, whether it's Dom Dwyer and Ike Opara, or in the future, some of the academy kids.
And Carter, I think we're not predicting that this is going to happen with either of those guys this summer, but it's another thing to keep an eye on, in that if one of them or both of them have a huge showing, that the interest will ratchet up on guys like that.
Yeah, certainly, and it's a good point in terms of those are major time commitments for those guys as, yeah, well, to go off to those tournaments. So we'll have to see how Sporting KC deals with them while they're away. And then the other point, I definitely agree with you guys. It seemed like MLS for a while was trying to avoid that that image of selling players to other leagues. But I'm glad that they've started to come around. And, you know, Brazil and Argentina, those leagues never had a problem with selling some of their top youngsters to Europe. It's just something that's going to happen when you have those monster clubs over there, and those clubs didn't suffer from it. In fact, like you guys have mentioned, it really just helps pay for their academies for years and years, and then they get another kid coming through and helps their first team as well. So I don't see it as a problem. I see it as growth for the league.
Yeah, I'll go back to, I don't like to refer to it as this league's a selling league or not a selling league. It's a transactional league. If you sell players, that gives you more money than go out and turn around on other good players and increase the quality of play on the field. So, look, we got off on a little bit of a tangent there. We were going to talk defense, but I think that was a really good route to explore in terms of all of these young academy guys and how they factor in this season. Carter, do you mind hanging with us for another segment so we can get into that defense a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, that's Carter Augustine. I know that he's just dying to stay on the phone with us while he's in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, but you are too. So stick around. It's the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
And we're here to wrap things up on another edition, the second edition of the season of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Nate Bucati along with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star, and Carter Augustine is embedded with the Sporting Kansas City second leg of training camp down in Scottsdale, Arizona. And Carter, you sent out a very important tweet earlier this week. What university is it whose mascot you uncovered for us? I'm trying to remember now. I know the name.
Scottsdale Community College.
Yeah, Scottsdale Community College. Do you know their mascot, Sam McDowell?
I have no idea. I would guess just by odds the Tigers.
Decent odds. I'm a little hurt that you haven't been checking my Twitter feed, but they're the Fighting Artichokes.
The Fighting Artichokes.
I was close.
Yep.
Yeah,
I got some gear. Don't you worry, Nate. I got some gear, so I'm all set for my Fighting Artichokes fandom.
Well, if I wear a large and I got money, so whatever you got that you think fits, I'll take it and I'll pay in cash. Okay.
All right. I'll see what I can do. It's actually kind of an interesting backstory. I would encourage people to go look it up. Basically, they were introducing sports to this community college, and the counterculture didn't want sports because they thought they were a good academic school. So the Artichokes name is a bit of a protest, but it stuck over the years.
Yeah, so anytime you have choke in the name of your mascot name, that's usually sets you up for bad things.
Hey, choke up.
That's right. That's right. Let's get into this defense for Sporting KC, guys. We had your interview with Andre Ufantas. He was very interesting to listen to earlier in the show, Carter, but I think even more interesting is going to be how he and Matt Beisler partner up, because Fontas seems to be a very different player than Ike Opara. I want to get both of your thoughts on it. I'll start with you, Carter. What have you seen from those two left-footed center backs as they've partnered up so far in training camp?
Yeah, I think you're right in the fact that he's much different from Ike Opara, who's so, you know, physical and a great athlete, you know, really quick and could cover for other people's mistakes with that athleticism. Fontas, I think, is a little more similar to Beisler, so I'm curious how those two will work throughout the season. But in the limited glimpses we saw of him last year, I think you guys saw it as well. He is really good on the ball, really silky with the ball at his feet. He can play any pass that you want, really calm under pressure. So he's been really impressive here down in preseason as well. And if you listen in that interview, he said playing with two lefties, he thinks it might give him some advantages as well. So I'm thinking specifically of maybe some different types of passes that a right-footed player couldn't play on the right side, whereas a left-footed player looking inside, he might have a nice diagonal to the other side. And he also has really good communication with Ilya, as you would expect, and is able to slip clever disguised passes into him. And Fontas likes to carry the ball forward into attack as well. So I think he's a really smart player, and I'm pretty excited in terms of when Sporting Kansas City have the ball. I think having those two excellent passers at the heart of the defense is going to be really helpful.
Yeah, just to build on that, what's going to be interesting is when you bring in a new guy, you sort of assume you're replacing the old guy. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Matt Beisler is going to have to make another big adjustment in his career, which he's done a lot of. You know, Aurelien Collin didn't play like Kevin Ellis. Kevin Ellis didn't play like Ike Opara, and Ike Opara doesn't play like Andre Ufantas. Now, he's got experience doing that. I mean, how many times did he go into a national team camp and have 3 days to prepare for a match and not know who he was going to be playing against? But that's a bigger challenge than maybe it appears, just because Beisler has done it so well. And I can't believe that doesn't draw a smile out of you just praising Beisler, Nate. But
happy birthday, Matt Beisler, a day late, by the way.
Did you sing to him yesterday?
I actually sent him a video where my kids sang happy birthday to
him.
But I restrained myself.
I'm just kind of picturing you as like a conductor to a marching band for that video.
Yeah, I made him sing it five different times. I yelled at them if they didn't do it correctly. Yeah.
But to me, the big adjustment's going to come from Matt Beazer. So like Carter mentioned, they're going to be playing differently with the ball. They're also going to be playing a lot differently without the ball, because Icoparra was able to chase guys down, allowed, you know, Beazer to move a little bit forward, allowed really Zusi to move a lot more forward. And I think there's other guys that are going to have to adjust to the way Andreu plays.
Okay, guys, there's another change on the back line as well. And we could talk about the other center backs that have been brought in, maybe specifically Botan Barath, I think, is the guy that could get some playing time. He's an international pedigree.
Real quickly, Nate, he's been really impressive down here in Arizona. He's really strong in the aerials. I haven't seen him lose too many aerial battles. He's got great positioning, but he's also really good with the ball on the deck. So I think you're right. You know, as of now, it looks like Fontas and Beazler is the pairing, but I think Barath will – Boti, as they call him, I think he will definitely factor this season. He looks to be up to that international standard.
And then I've tried to put off talking about him just because I'm still working on the getting the pronunciation down perfectly. But they bring in a young player from Rwanda at 22 years old, Abdul Gwatubiaye. Did I get that right, Carter?
I think that's pretty close.
And I'm not an international expert. Yeah, he's an international with Rwanda. What have you seen from him so far?
He's actually not down here yet,
okay,
Nate. They're still working on getting that visa sorted. Peter, just before we came down here, Peter Ramiz said that he expected it to take a couple of weeks. That's just kind of the normal process for these things. He's back in Rwanda just waiting for the government agencies to do their thing, and we know how long that can take. So he hasn't met up with the team as of yet.
And then the other big change, and I don't think this is getting talked about very much, but every year we know that a left back comes into the fold. This time around, it's Rodney Wallace, and I know that you talked to him about the fact that, you know, he's a terp like Graham Zusi, Carter, but I talked to some players who really are excited about what he brings in the effect of getting up the field, kind of the way that Graham Zusi does on the opposite side there. I feel like he's going to be a real factor with this team as well. What have you seen from Rodney Wallace?
Yeah, he definitely will be. And like Graham Zusi, in being a Terp, he's also converted from more of an attack-minded player to now almost exclusively playing left back. He has played in the preseason games, and I think you're right. He adds a little bit in attack. He's got a really nice passing range and can slip those inside passes, especially when he was working with Felipe Gutierrez on the left side of central midfield. They seemed to have a nice connection where he could really find him in good spaces. But, you know, it seems every year they bring in a new left back, and every year Cetsinovic winds up starting by you know, June or July. So I wouldn't rule Cetsinovic out just yet either, but that'll be a really interesting battle to see between those two guys.
But Sam, either way, Seth is another one of those guys who just celebrated a 32nd birthday. Rodney Wallace is 30 years old as well, by the way, but do you think they need an extra left back this time around? Of course, Jalen Lindsay had to play there a lot last year.
Yeah, I can't figure out exactly why, if you're a free agent, you would sign as a left back here, because it just seems like bad luck. It just seems like you're not going to end up starting late in the season. So, but yeah, it's a position they need a depth, and maybe this is a situation where you go out and get a starter, and then Cetsinovic becomes your depth, and it's a reliable guy there. But, you know, we talked earlier about the fact that Icoparra, his absence may change a little bit of the way Zusi plays, and based on the way it sounds like that Carter's observations in preseason camp, maybe we see the left side push up a little bit more this year than the right side.
Yeah, it's maybe a little more balanced,
yeah,
too, which could make Sporting a little more difficult to
just
to
less predictable
for.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before we wrap things up, I just want to get each of you to give me some thoughts on this upcoming series. Of course, next week on the Sporting KC show, we're going to focus hot and heavy on Toluca FC. But just quickly, maybe a preliminary thought from each of you. Carter, as you're with the team there and they're getting ready for their preparations, maybe give me a thought or two on what you're expecting from this home and away series against Toluca to start off the Champions League.
Well, certainly, as we've all talked about, it's tough for MLS teams to come into this first series, considering the Liga MX teams will have been playing for a good month and a half, almost 2 months at that point.
But the guys are pretty confident. They're in good shape as well. I think they're hoping for some colder weather up in Kansas City to maybe scare off or affect the Toluca players. But they're very confident in their ability to get a result at home and then see the series out on the road. And for what it's worth, it looks like Toluca's hit a bit of a rough patch right now as well. They won their first two games in Liga MX, but they've really been struggling. And I think they have an away game just 5 days before that first leg and then another one just shortly thereafter. So they'll be in the midst of a condensed schedule, so they might have some rotation as well. I think despite the disadvantages of it being the first game, Sporting Kansas City is pretty confident.
To me, there's no doubt that Sporting Kansas City enters this series as the underdog. I mean, the way that Carter laid that out is perfect in the sense that they're going to be playing their first games of the season. But it's funny to me because as a journalist, you're kind of taught not to write weather stories. But the weather is going to be a gigantic factor in both of these games to where it favors the home team. If it's cold in Kansas City, you know, Toluca's probably not going to be prepared for that. And at the same sense, it's not just the heat in Mexico, but God, it's almost 9,000 feet of altitude. I mean, it's nearly twice as much as what going to Commerce City in Colorado is. And that, to me, that's a tough task for your second game of the season.
It's going to be very interesting to see. Yep. The weather actually seems pretty good in Toluca. I've been checking the forecast a little bit. The highs are in the 70s this time of year. But like you said, it's the altitude. It's just the lack of oxygen. For those who don't know, the team's going to go straight to Albuquerque, which is higher altitude than Denver, Colorado, to train after the home game and hope that gets them a little bit prepared for what they're going to encounter the following week. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll break it all down for you next week. We'll really get into breaking down these teams and what the series looks like. Sam, thanks so much for joining us this week, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And Carter, you know, get that jacket ready. I know evening is upon us down in Scottsdale, so you got to get ready. But we appreciate it, and keep up all the great work covering Sporting KC down in Scottsdale. When do you come home?
Yeah, coming back on Thursday, Valentine's Day, after the final preseason game, which is tomorrow against Houston, which we will be streaming. So you can check that out as well, and I'll try and stay warm.
And Carter is on the call of that game as well, so everybody check it out online. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll see you next week.